Everyone loves a good family mystery, especially one with as many twists and turns as June's journey. Step into the role of June Parker and search for hidden clues to uncover the mystery of her sister's murder.
You guys need to check out June's journey.
Engage your observation skills to quickly uncover key pieces of information that lead to chapters of mystery, danger, and romance. Where will each new chapter take you? Discover hidden clues and solve a riveting murder mystery. Engage with the brain-teasing enigmas of the Roaring Twenties and delve into June's quest to reveal a scandalous family secret. You guys, I love getting lost in this world. It's so beautiful and engaging, and I can't wait to unwind at the end of the day on the couch with this game and a cup of tea. So can you crack the case? Download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android. Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with some samples. You guys, allergies suck, and it really sucks when my nose is all stuffed up. I can't do anything. I can't even enjoy dinner because I can't taste my food. I can't work out because I feel so tired and I'm out of it. And just forget getting ahead on recording the show because I sound so stuffy. But luckily for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. Designed for serious allergy sufferers, Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieve your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so you can breathe better. I've honestly been using Claritin D for my allergies forever, and it's always been my go-to. I know when spring hits, I won't have to worry about my eyes watering like crazy and my nose running like a faucet.
Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to our podcast. This is Murder with My Husband. I'm Peyton Moreland.
And I'm Garrett Moreland.
And he's the husband.
And I'm the husband. Another week and we are back here again.
Yeah, thank you guys so much for listening. A reminder, if you are on YouTube, please subscribe and turn on notifications and leave us a comment. And if you are listening on podcast, just leave us a review. And if you want to support the show and check out our Patreon, which has 3 extra bonus episodes this month, so that's cool. You can do that. It's just Patreon/Murder with My Husband. There's different level tiers and it really does help us out. It helps. It's all ad free. And also every single episode is released a day early for all of our Patreons. So if you want to support the show that way, go check it out. Okay, also, this is the first episode since we released our spooky episode, and I want to know if you guys liked it. I thought it was really fun. It was like super fun from our side, and I loved reading the story. So let us know, like, in a comment either on Instagram, Facebook, or just down below if you're watching on YouTube. Let us know if you liked the spooky stories, because I personally was a fan.
And if everybody roasts me for my Halloween costume, it's okay. I won't be offended.
You looked so cute.
Thanks, babe.
Okay, girl. What is your 20 seconds? Whoa. Since everyone wants more.
20 seconds.
I mean, I want more too, so.
I don't know. I've been playing golf. True. I'm not a good golfer, but it's fun. I like doing it. So I've been doing that. Also, everybody's been talking about the Squid Games.
Squid Game. It's a TV show.
Squid Games on Netflix. I haven't watched it. We haven't watched it.
It feels a little like Black Mirror to me. That's what I think it's going to be like.
Anyways, if it's good, let us know. Maybe we'll watch it.
All I know is I just see this big old robot thing just shooting people if they move.
I know.
That's all I see.
Oh, last thing is that last week I mentioned the Cheesecake Factory how we were, I wanted to go there. We didn't go there. Actually, Cheesecake Factory is like 40 minutes from us.
Yeah.
So we just decided not to go.
Yeah, it's kind of a drive.
And then today we won't be going either.
Oh, also, I was going to say that sometimes I get some comments. I don't want to make it seem like a lot, but it's enough that I'll say something about my nails. People just wanting to like see my designs or what I'm doing, I think because on YouTube they see them. So I actually will post anything personal info like that, like my nails or my outfits or anything like that over on my personal Instagram. So if you want to like know about that and you want to follow me on there, you can just like search Peyton Moreland. And that's where I post all of that information for everyone who's asking.
Keep leaving suggestions for my 10 seconds in the YouTube comments and the Instagram comments. I do read those.
All right. So our case sources, I do want to preface that there was not a lot of information on this case, but it is a good Halloween case. So you know I had to do it for October. So our case sources are CBSNews.com, SanduskyRegister.com, and Medium.com. All right, so our episode begins in Columbus, Ohio. It's Halloween in 2010, and 16-year-old Devin Griffin has just finished church for the day. He had actually spent the weekend at his dad's house, but was going home to his mom's house after church. Devin actually sang in the church choir that morning, which was why he was at church service by himself and like not with his whole family. I actually tried to sing in church choir once.
How'd it go?
Bad, because I'm not a good singer, but I always want to be a singer. So as soon as Devin gets home to his mom's house, Devin runs upstairs and starts playing video games in his room. He's like, hey, finished church, just going straight up to his room. But as 1:30 p.m. rolled around, he noticed something. His house was really quiet, too quiet. He knew that his mom, 46-year-old Susan Liske, would be awake by now and moving around the house. And also, where was the rest of his family too? He didn't hear anyone downstairs. Okay. He'd actually dropped in at home to get his church clothes earlier that morning around 9:30 a.m. before church, but he'd only quickly seen his stepbrother, 24-year-old BJ Liske, while running back out the door. So he was there that morning, didn't see the rest of his family, only saw BJ, ran back out, went to church, sang in church choir, came home, ran immediately upstairs, and now is like, wait, where's my whole family? Like, why haven't I seen anybody?
Got it. Okay.
So Devin finishes up his video game and makes his way downstairs to find his family. No one was on the main level of the home, like in the living room or kitchen, where he assumed they would be. So he makes his way to the master bedroom that was on the main level and opens the door. Inside the master bedroom, it looks like his mom and stepdad, 53-year-old William E. Liske, who goes by Bill, they're still in bed. But it's so late. It's like 1:30 and he's like, what the heck? So Devin decides to walk over and wake up his mom. As he approaches the bed, he notices that their comforter is pulled up over both of their heads. So weirded out, Devin calls out, "Mom?" When she doesn't respond, he tries touching her foot that was poking out of the covers, but she still doesn't move. He calls out, "Mom," again while pulling the covers down off her head. This is when Devin jumps at the sight of blood all over his mom's pillow. He relaxes a little as he remembers it's Halloween and his family must be playing a Halloween prank on him. He's this is a prank, like it's Halloween.
Yeah.
They are trying to spook me or whatever. So he's like, okay. But then Devin traumatically realizes that this is not a prank. This is much worse. When he pulls the rest of the covers down and finds his mom dead in her bed, he freaks out.
Both the mom and the dad, correct?
His stepdad is in the bed too. And his stepdad is laying next to her dead as well.
Okay.
Devin runs outside like of the home immediately. I'm sure he's traumatized and he calls his aunt, Lori Morse, who then called 911 for him and rushed to the home. And at first I was kind of like, why wouldn't he just call 911? But like the thought of calling 911 actually really scares me. So I don't think like after finding your parents dead, it's that weird that you like call your aunt. Like, come help. Oh my gosh, what do I do? And she's like, okay, we need to call 911. So I don't think that's that weird.
And he was young still.
Yeah, he was only 16.
So I could see that.
When Ottawa County authorities arrive at the Liske home, they come across a grisly crime scene. The Liske home was in a very rural part of Columbus, sitting on roughly 100 acres. So it's like a really secluded place. Like, we're not talking a neighborhood home. I mean, their home sits on 100 acres. There's nobody nearby. Police find Father Bill Liske, his body, was kind of lying in a natural sleeping position. He had been shot 5 times in the head and face.
Oh my gosh.
And from what investigators think, only about 1 to 2 feet away is how far away he was shot from. So that's like pretty intense. Yeah. It's almost like he was shot while he was asleep.
So I assume whatever happened between the time that he was at choir
or at church,
home. Or at church and came home.
Maybe because, like they said, that Bill was asleep.
True.
So he woke up. I don't think he woke up being shot in the face, but he was obviously still asleep. So it happened in the early morning hours. They hadn't woken up yet for the day. And then his mother, Susan, had been shot 3 times, but she was positioned a little bit more awkwardly than Bill, like she had been moved after she was shot. So police think whoever did it shot her husband, Bill, while he was sleeping. That obviously woke her up. And then she was shot after him, so she was not in a normal sleeping position. And then the killer positioned her back onto the bed and pulled the covers up over both of them. So that's why she was kind of in like a weird position.
So where's the stepbrother and everybody else then?
We'll get there.
Okay.
So according to Sarah Weber with the Sandusky Register, the bullets that were used to shoot the parents were smaller, like were a smaller caliber, likely a 22. As police are taking in the crime scene, they wonder about the rest of the family. Devin Griffin was outside being comforted by his aunt. He's the 16-year-old. Mm-hmm. But they were still missing his stepbrother, BJ Liskey, who he had seen that morning, and his brother, Derek Griffin, who also lived at the home. BJ was not actually living with the family at the time, so they were a little less worried about finding him as they were worried about locating Derek. So they searched the family home, and as they got up to 23-year-old Derek's room, they find his door locked. After knocking and finally kicking the door down, police are hit with even more tragedy. Derek Griffin's body is curled up on his bed in kind of like the fetal position, and he's facing the wall. A coroner determines that he suffered blunt force trauma to his head and died within a few minutes of the first hit.
Gosh, dang it.
So he too is dead in his room.
Okay.
Police discovered a bloody claw hammer later in the house that actually matched the wounds on Derek Griffin's head. So the parents were shot, but Derek was beaten with a hammer until he died.
So weird. And was the hammer part, like, was it their hammer? Do you know?
I think so, because it was just left at the house. And I think, I'm pretty sure they were just like, this was the hammer used. After talking to Devin, police learned that the Liskey family had multiple guns on the property, but none of them actually matched the murder weapon that was used to kill the parents. Police found muddy footprints by a deck near the family's pond. And so they actually believed that maybe the murderer had thrown the murder weapons in there to try to get rid of them. Like, these footprints are random down here. Maybe whoever did this walked down there and tried to get rid of like the murder weapons. But after draining the pond and bringing in weapon sniffing dogs, so like dogs who can detect like weapons, police could not find the gun used to kill Susan and Bill. So like, we don't think it's still on the property. All they knew was Devin was traumatized. Susan and Bill were slaughtered in their own home. Derek was beaten savagely, probably scared for his life in his bedroom. And BJ Liskey, who Devin had seen earlier that morning at the house, was now nowhere to be found. 24-year-old BJ Liskey had had a pretty troubled past. When Bill had divorced BJ's mother, BJ really struggled. He started skipping school and misbehaving. Then when Bill and Susan got married in 2001, adding two more brothers into the family, BJ resented everything that had to do with it. When Susan tried imposing some rules on the new family, it was met with backlash from BJ. In 2002, his father, Bill Liskey, had actually called police on then 16-year-old BJ, who had actually been threatening to harm himself. He was actually on house arrest at the time of the call, and when officers arrived, BJ attacked them. And so then he ended up facing charges in juvenile court, which I'm just telling you this to show that like he was having a very hard time, and so were the parents, his stepmom and his dad, with kind of like managing this rough time he was having.
Got it. Once you try Bombas, you'll never look at socks the same way again. They've obsessed over details like foot-hugging honeycomb arch support, anti-blister tabs, and cushioned footbeds that feel like pillows for your feet. And let's not forget their super soft tees and tagless underwear. Bombas has a one purchased equals one donated mission. Every time you buy their socks, tees, or underwear, you also donate essential clothing to someone facing homelessness. To date, Bombas has donated over 100 million clothing items and counting.
Bombas also offers a 100% happiness guarantee. So whether your socks disappear in the dryer or they become a snack for your dog, they will actually do anything possible to replace it or make it right. They've also got this new Merino wool blend socks that naturally wick moisture and help regulate temperatures, perfect for that rainy or unpredictable spring weather. You guys, I love Bombas. I literally wear them all the time. I love that every purchase means a donation to someone in need. And it's not just their socks either. I also love their tees and underwear. They're so soft. They pay attention to details. I just really, really love Bombas.
Get comfy this spring and give back with Bombas. Head over to bombas.com/husband and use code husband for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/husband and use code husband at checkout.
Do you ever find that when you're traveling, you can't help but worry about what's going on back home? Like, Again, did you remember to lock up everything or close all the windows? It's so easy for those little concerns to nag at you while you're trying to enjoy your trip. And that's why we highly recommend looking into SimpliSafe Home Security today. It's all about giving you the top-notch security and total peace of mind, no matter where your summer adventures take you. It's like having that extra layer of protection so you can truly relax and enjoy your time away. You guys, I know that when we travel, it is so nice to just have that peace of mind. You know, it's not only for when you're home and you don't want someone breaking in, but like also when you're away from home and you just want to know that your house is safe. And that is what SimpliSafe gives you.
There's a variety of indoor and outdoor cameras we've installed, so we have a view of all our entry points. Plus, SimpliSafe was named Best Home Security System 2024 by the U.S. News and the World Report. SimpliSafe has given us and many of our listeners real peace of mind. I want you to have it too. Right now, get 20% off any new SimpliSafe system with Fast Protect monitoring at simplisafe.com/husband. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
We're jumping into an ad right now, and I've had this question. I think about it all the time because I hate getting sick. You ever wonder why some people just don't get sick? One of the reasons you can help yourself from getting sick is Armra colostrum.
Okay, obviously I had no idea that colostrum is the first nutrition we receive in life and is an exclusive source of all the essential nutrients we need in order to thrive. So what's amazing is Armra colostrum is a proprietary concentrate of bovine colostrum that harnesses over 400 functional nutrients to strengthen your immune barriers, your body's inside suit of armor, and the first line of defense against harmful particles from the environment that can trigger inflammation and actually make you sick.
I'm not saying that it 100% works for everybody because obviously you never know, but all I'm saying is I haven't been sick since I started taking it.
Well, and the science behind it is so cool. Armra colostrum strengthens all four layers of your gut wall, where 80% of your immune cells are housed, and it's a rich, exclusive source of antibodies that optimize your immune defense during cold and flu season.
Plus, in clinical trials, bovine colostrum was found to be at least 3 times more effective than the flu vaccine at preventing the flu. We've worked out a special offer for our audience. Receive 15% off your first order. Go to tryarmra.com/husband or enter husband to get 15% off your first order. Again, that's tryarmra.com/husband.
Then, October of 2004, BJ got into a fight with his stepmother, Susan, and hit her in the chest hard. So it got physical. And then not even 2 months later, he was charged again, this time with felonious assault and robbery for hitting Susan with a coffee cup and stealing her keys.
So is he not in juvie at all? Did they not press charges?
What? They did press charges, but he was actually found incompetent to stand trial. And okay. So then his father and stepmother actually just dropped the charges because they were like, he's still still his dad. It's still his son. You know what I mean?
That would be hard.
It would be hard. It wasn't until 18-year-old BJ tried to attack Susan, again, his stepmother, while she was innocently showering.
What the heck?
You know how you're like, you told me one time, you were like, one time I was in the shower and I was like, oh my gosh, like I'm so innocent here. If Peyton was going to kill me, this is when she's going to do it.
Because my eyes are closed. I'm just washing my hair.
Which is so messed up. I would never kill you.
Never.
But he goes in and does that to Susan while she's like in such a vulnerable state. He goes in and tries to attack her. And so this is when Susan and Bill had had enough. Like Bill was like, despite the fact that BJ's my son, this is like enough. He obviously has it out for Susan. He's physical. He's violent. Like we've hit our breaking point. So I think for everyone's safety, BJ was appropriately kicked out of the home. he's 18 now, and moved to a Sandusky group home for mental health patients because he was obviously struggling. He actually had the cops called on him 3 times while living at this home. And one of those times was after his dad, Bill, came to pick him up once, and then they got into a physical fight again.
Oh, man. So there's a lot involved.
Yeah. And Bill would like kind of go back continuously to try to visit his son. I mean, he still loved him. He still cared about him at this home. And it just never went well. Like, the relationship was just really struggling. It's safe to say that with BJ missing and most of the family murdered, friends and family of the Liskys were really quick to point their fingers and voice their concerns about BJ.
So was BJ supposed to be at the house, though?
No, he wasn't living there, but his brother had seen him there earlier that morning. So police were kind of like, why was he here? And now the rest of the family's dead.
So it was kind of odd that he was there.
Yeah. Apparently he had like been there the night before, but he didn't ever sleep there because of the violence. So it was a little weird that he was there. At least at first, police were like, this is a little weird. Mark Gradle, who is a longtime family friend of the Liskys and like a neighbor, told police that Bill called him multiple times for help with BJ. Whether it was that he couldn't get BJ to settle down or things had finally turned physical, it seems like Mark was called before the last resort of contacting police. So like, instead of calling police, he would contact Mark and say, can you please get over to the house and help me? And then if that wasn't enough, they would resort to calling police.
Got it.
Mark even told police that they actually suspected BJ of killing and torturing their pets. And despite confronting Bill with the theory, Bill reassured Mark that BJ was just acting out, that it, like, he didn't mean any harm by it.
No way.
Which is like a really bad sign.
Torturing pets?
Yes, that's like a really bad sign. So I understand why Mark confronted him with it and was like, hey, like, I think he needs help. Mark told police that despite the severe issues BJ had caused in the family, Bill loved him and never gave up on him. He wanted him to be a part of the family. In February 2006, Bill filed for guardianship over BJ because BJ had been hospitalized for schizoaffective disorder, bipolar type, and he needed help. He needed a guardian. When BJ moved to the Sandusky halfway home, Bill visited often and felt bad for his son. He just wanted him to know that he was loved.
Uh-huh.
So the weekend of the murders, Bill had actually taken vacation time and gone hunting with BJ so that they could get some one-on-one quality time together. The family actually had a cabin in Carroll County that they used often while hunting. And so that's where they stayed, like, during this little vacation together. When BJ and Bill returned home from hunting that Saturday, they decided to spend the night with some friends together. Mark Gradle, the neighbor, actually attended the gathering and said that everything seemed normal. After the party, BJ, who was really not allowed to sleep at the house, like I said, due to the violence of the past, actually ended up staying the night at the home that night. Bill had been drinking and he didn't feel it was safe to drive BJ all the way back to the home in Sandusky. And so he was like, I just think you should stay tonight. Plus, their hunting trip had gone well, and so had the party.
So they just went hunting, so they have guns, and now he's staying the night at the house.
Yes, but like, the hunting had gone well, and so had the party that night. Like, everyone was getting along. BJ wasn't having any outbursts. So I think his dad, who, like, despite the fact that they had made the rule, he was like, okay, it's going to be okay. We'll just have him stay the night and I'll drive him home in the morning.
Oh.
So Bill actually made up a bed on the couch for BJ to stay in that night. And we only know that because police like found the couch made up into a bed. And so 1 + 1 = 2. Once Devin left the house that morning for church, BJ took the family's Ford F-150 and drove back to the hunting cabin. He stopped along the way to get a Subway sandwich, and police actually found footage of him buying the sandwich, but it went like uneaten. Like, they just found it at the cabin. He never ate it.
Weird.
After learning about BJ and the family's cabin, police knew that they needed to head up that way. They stormed the cabin and found BJ hiding out inside. He was arrested and charged with aggravated murder, and BJ pled guilty to all 3 murders and was sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole. BJ ended up taking his own life in prison in 2015 at age 29.
Oh, so he was fit to stand trial?
Yes. I mean, apparently, like, they, I think he kind of said that he didn't really know why he did it. He just did it. Like, it, he said he so, just.
It seems so black and white. They found him.
Yeah.
He pled guilty and that was it.
Yeah. Because, I mean, once they found him, he confessed and was like, yeah, I did it. Like, he didn't try to put up a fight or anything, which is
I mean, that's a pretty open and shut case if the person who everyone is pointing fingers at then says, yes, I did it.
Yeah.
So after finding out what BJ had done to his family, Devin recalled running into him earlier that morning. This is when he was like, well, I did see him earlier that morning. And police were like, how did that conversation go? Because we think he just killed your family. Like when you ran into him, he had already killed your family. And Devin was like, well, he couldn't remember much about the conversation because it was so fast because he was rushing in to get dressed. But he did note that BJ seemed happier than normal. Like he was a little bit more giddy. And he was also asking him a lot of questions like, where are you going? How long are you going to be there? How long is that going to take? And so, I mean, Devin just kind of like brushed it off like, okay, this is just like a little.
Is it weird that BJ didn't kill Devin?
I think so. But I think because Devin was like, oh, I'm just running in and out and people are expecting me at church. Maybe BJ was like, I can't because people are expecting him and then I'm not going to have enough time to get away if he doesn't show up. I'm not sure, but I do think that's weird that he killed everyone and then ran into him in the same house, in the safety of the house that he had just slaughtered his own family and chose not to.
Yeah.
And I also like think a big part of this case is that you have to think about the impact that it had on Devin, that he entered his house not once, but twice and spent hours in it with the whole family dead inside and didn't know. That whole time he was playing video games, his family was dead.
Yep.
And when he ran into BJ that morning, his family was dead and he had no idea. And to me, that's just like the worst part. And it was on Halloween.
Yeah.
That's even worse. The fact that it was on Halloween is just even worse.
Horrible.
But yeah, BJ said he didn't know why he did it. He just said he just got up and did it.
You think he was, would have been like a serial killer?
I think that he had really, really strong mental illness. And that's why I think like he pled guilty and then ended up taking his own life. I think he really struggled with some demons. Like we don't know what he was going through. I'm not making an excuse. He brutally took people's lives, but I think there was obviously some things going on there that he was fighting in his own head.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's what caused him to do it. He didn't necessarily say that, but I think that all signs are pointing towards some severe mental illness.
So where's Devin now? Is there any information on that? No.
No. Yeah. This case is like surprisingly not reported on a lot. Like I really struggled finding information on it, but it was a Halloween murder. And so I wanted to incorporate that into our October. And also like this family was completely innocent victims, like innocently taken by someone that they should have been able to trust. And then also just to like put that impact on Devin and make him continue living on with that. It's just an awful, awful case. Yeah. But that is the case of the Liskey family murders. Okay, you guys. Well, you don't have to wait a week to hear from us again. We will have another spooky story coming out from you guys. So you will have more content coming. And we are super excited for that. And plus, we will be dressed up again. And I'm really excited for you guys to see this week's costumes.
It'll be on Thursday, right?
Yes, Thursday is when we're dropping the spooky stories. So we will see you then. I love it.
And I hate it.
Goodbye.